But first to the next chapter in the sale of Kidman & Co, because a crowd-funded bidder for the cattle empire says it'll equal the rejected offer made by a Chinese consortium. Domacom has partnered with a broker that's aiming to bring more institutional investors on board. The company says if it's successful, it'll list the business on the Australian Stock Exchange. CEO Arthur Nalmides says, although unusual, their bid should be taken seriously.
What this arrangement with Lloyd's Business Broker enables us to do is they will go in and find investors to buy the shares in the company after we've bought the land.
And so at this stage, it would depend on how much they put up as to the final ownership makeup if your bid is successful.
Since the recent decision by the Treasurer to block the transaction again, the Kidman process has opened up to all bidders, and we've managed to get in formally this time, and we've been given access to the accounts of Kidman, so we've got a very good idea of what our bid needs to be. So on the property side, I can disclose that, you know, we're going to bid $210 million for the property, and then obviously, the Lloyd's Business Broker is now outsourcing investors for the balance of the transaction, which will need to be in the $150 to $160 million range, we would think.
How important is it to keep all of the properties in the Kidman Empire together and maintain that legacy Sir Sydney built?
Our rationale is that clearly the S. Kidman created this grouping of properties for a reason, and it's been effective for 100 years. And so our initial view is that as one entity, it's generating a good return, and so why break it up?
Following on from that, are you committed to maintaining the company's 160 staff and its management team?
Oh, yes. We're replacing the shareholders. We're not replacing the staff, and this is purely a financial transaction. Now, clearly, once the ownership of the company has changed, there would be a process where we corporatise the business to get it ready to list. Now, at that stage, there'll be, you know, some changes in definitely at the board level. And at the end of the day, we'll see how the preparations for a listing take form.
There's been two rejected bids for the Kidman Empire. Does it make it difficult from your point of view that the goalposts seem to be shifting, or that it's not a transparent process or an easy process to work through?
No, I disagree. I don't think the goalposts are shifting. I think it's a sensible view in that at the end of the day, you've got to ask yourself, why do organisations from offshore pay more than certain Australian competitors? And it's not from an investment perspective. It's they want to control or vertically integrate into an offshore business. And the issue would be you've got to demonstrate that it's in Australia's productive interest for this transaction. And my view is that the system's worked well.
As the sale of the Kidman Empire has rolled on, Domacom's crowdfunding model, perhaps because it is a little unusual, has been dismissed as maybe not quite as serious as the other bids. What do you say to those criticisms?
Watch this space. We're about to start marketing, and we're going to have a real good crack at completing this transaction. But the reality, from our view, this is much bigger than simply Kidman. This is about demonstrating that the Australian investment market can be channeled into Australian agricultural assets.
The Dakang ARC Consortium was the Kidman's preferred bidder. So if you have a buyer that you want to sell to, you should surely be able to choose that buyer.
Well, not really, because not a level playing field. All the competitors, Australian domestic competitors, have this thing that they need to make profit here in Australia. If you're competing with a global agricultural enterprise where they can effectively profit shift, or in fact, all they need to do is to lock down the Australian supply chain so they can deliver cows to their operation in Shanghai, do they really care whether they make profit here? The problem then is if we sell that Kidman land, it ceases becoming a productive asset in Australia. And, you know, frankly, what right do they have to sell? You know, when they got the asset in the first place, they didn't have to compete against global companies with profit-shifting strategies.
Foreign investment deals like this have been part of the industry's history since settlement, and we haven't seen a loss of our food security. So why is this? this one so different?
Well, the difference is foreign investment, where you've got a, say, like a hedge fund, Terra Firma, say, in England, investing in an agricultural company here, they do so because they think they're going to make money. And if they make money, guess what? They pay tax. Whereas if you've got a foreign entity that is actually an agricultural supply chain business, they're not buying the, in my view, they're not buying the, or wanting to buy the Kidman operation because they want to make money in Australia. They want to buy it so they can lock and control supply of the product, in other words, the cattle, to themselves and control the price that they sell to. Now, at the end of the day, people say, yeah, we should welcome smart investors. Yeah, but that doesn't mean we have to be dumb Australians, because we're effectively giving away our asset and it'll cease being a productive asset of Australia.
Domacom's CEO Arthur Nalmeedy speaking with Clint Jasper about his proposal for Kidman & Co.